Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Thomas Cook India Limited Q2 FY20 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhijit Akella from IIFL Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nirav. Ladies and gentlemen, very good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on the Q2 FY20 post-results conference call of Thomas Cook India. It's my pleasure to introduce the senior management team of the Thomas Cook Group who are here with us to discuss the results. We'll begin the call with opening remarks by Mr. Madhavan Menon, Chairman and Managing Director, followed by the management team, and thereafter we can open the call up for a Q&A session. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. Menon to take it forward. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhijit. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Let me first introduce the participants from our end. We've got Mr. Ramesh Ramanathan, Chairman and Managing Director of Sterling Holiday Resorts on this call. We've got Mahesh Iyer, the CEO of Thomas Cook India. Mahesh is responsible for the Thomas Cook operating company. We've got Vishal Suri, who is the Managing Director of SOTC. We've got Debashish Nandi, who's the Group CFO. And we've got Brijesh Modi, who is the CFO of Thomas Cook India Limited. Ladies and gentlemen, let me sort of kick off with my remarks. And the way we would ideally flow today is that once I complete my comments, Mahesh Iyer will come and give some brief comments, followed by Debashish Nandi, then Mr. Ramanathan, just for the sake of separating out the operating Thomas Cook Group and Sterling Holiday Resorts. Ramesh will come in and make his comments, after which we'll open up to questions and answers. So let me start off. I think if I look back at the last quarter, it's most probably one of the toughest quarters that I have personally witnessed across the group. Look everywhere, and you'll see some problem or the other. It's the Indian economy. It's the failure of Cox & Kings. It's the failure of Thomas Cook U.K. Just for disclosure norms, Thomas Cook U.K., we are not owned by Thomas Cook U.K., and we have not been owned by Thomas Cook U.K. since 2012 when we became a part of the Fairfax Group. Then you go to the political disruption in Hong Kong, weak global demand. And then if we come to the local market, we're talking of the crisis of confidence around shadow banking, banks, etc., etc. Essentially, we have witnessed a quarter where trust is not necessarily very high, and we in the travel industry, and more specifically the Thomas Cook Group, faced a lot more challenges around the collapse of both Cox & Kings and the Thomas Cook PLC. If you go down to the retail market, we are clearly seeing an impact of all these conditions. And while we would like to believe that things would look better, this morning's news on Moody's downgrading the outlook for the Indian economy doesn't come as good news. This only adds more problems or creates more problems in the short run. From a booking perspective, the revival is still not up to where we would like it to be, but I think we need to wait and watch. In terms of DI, this will be the first quarter that they report, first full quarter that they report their results, and I will sort of ask Mahesh to comment on that. The next point I want to talk about is, I'm sure where some of you have questions around this, is the Thomas Cook brand. Let me clarify that subsequent to the collapse of Thomas Cook U.K., a receiver was brought in, and a company that specializes in liquidation also came into play. And what they've been doing over the last couple of weeks is actually dispose of the assets so that they can settle the creditors of Thomas Cook UK. Now, you would have read in the news that Fosun, a Chinese company, bought the global brand of Thomas Cook, which is absolutely true. However, the Thomas Cook India, Thomas Cook Sri Lanka, and Thomas Cook Mauritius were not a part of this, the scope of this particular sale, simply because the company where these IPs are positioned are actually not within the scope of liquidation. And therefore, we will continue to evaluate our options as we go forward. Lastly, let me just comment about the financial performance of the company, of the group. Consolidated revenue from operations grew by 6% to 17 billion from 16 billion for the period. The second important point was that Thomas Cook continues to be financially strong with cash and bank deposit balances of approximately 1,088 crores or 10,883 million as of 30th of September. This includes deposits in banks, investments in mutual funds, as well as bank balances. In terms of the consolidated losses, you will note that the losses actually declined from 11.9 crores to 3.4 crores, which this is a fairly good achievement despite the weak demand that we've witnessed for the various circumstances that I referred to earlier. I'm going to stop there and hand over to Mahesh, who will make a statement, after which we'll hand over to Devashish.
Thank you, Madhavan. Just to add to what Madhavan said, I just want to kind of give a little color to the industry and the backdrop of the industry that we operated in the last quarter. The two important benchmarks that we look at is the domestic air traffic and the international air traffic. For the period Jan to September, domestic air traffic last year actually grew by 20%. And for the current year, there is a growth of only 3%. On the international side, for H1, which is the last data that's available from DGCA, there was a degrowth of 1% in the current half year of 2019 as compared to a 14% growth that was reflected last year. Now, this gives you a sense of how the industry has been impacted overall, not just in terms of saying customer sentiments, but also general demand and the airline capacity to fill it up. Now, there are multiple reasons to it. Obviously, jet went out of play, so the capacity still needs to be filled up on the domestic side while some of this capacity has come back. But on the international side, there's still work to be done. It's not completely over. Despite the challenges that we saw in the market with regards to customer sentiments, Thomas Cook UK, CNK, Jet, I think from an overall sales point of view, our B2C businesses registered over 8% growth, which we believe is a fairly decent number, and this is what we indicated when we spoke to the market last time around, saying that we expect close to about a first in the double-digit growth in the teens for this quarter, and we are kind of closer to the 8.5% growth that we have seen. Noteworthy here is that during this period, despite the challenges that we face in the markets, our margins continue to remain stable. They have hovered, the gross margins for the holidays business continue to hover around the 12-13% mark, and we have stayed good to that. On the domestic front, we actually witnessed a 12% growth in our volumes, which despite all the challenges in the domestic market that we saw, is a fairly decent number, which we believe will continue to ride some momentum as we get into the next quarter, albeit the sentiments that are currently continuing to be weak may have some impact on that. On the B2B side, more fortunately, we haven't seen any major impact. In fact, across the lines of our corporate travel and MICE businesses, our volumes have remained stable. Our ATVs have remained almost the same as compared to what it was last year, despite a marginal fall in the number of tickets that were issued during this period. So I think on the B2B side, we haven't seen as much an impact as we would have, as we have seen on the B2C side, where the sentiments have generally been very weak. On the financial services side, Forex has registered a growth of about 4% in terms of gross revenue, and in terms of EBIT has grown 7%. I'd just like to add here that these numbers are strictly not comparable. When I say comparable, for the current quarter, we have started our operations in Bangalore Airport in the month of August. So we have upfronted some of the cost or front-loaded some of the cost there, and the revenues for which will come in the subsequent quarter. So basically, it's not a comparable number. But if I add back the cost that we have incurred this year, actually operating performance improved by a little over 14%. Giving a quick backdrop on DEI, for which we have consolidated in the current quarter in full. Just to refresh memory, as you know, DEI operates in the digital imaging space, operates a little more than 250 sites across about 100 countries. In this current quarter, since they operate in an industry which is slightly adjacent to the travel sector, which are all those experiences that customers will go through, the problems in Hong Kong, some of the issues with haze in Singapore, and some of the slowdown in the Middle East markets did impact their attendance. Despite that, they posted a very strong performance. Their volumes actually grew as compared to what they were last year. Average ATVs on their business actually went up, and the hit rates have also improved. All in all, I think they had a very good quarter, and we will talk in specific numbers as we go along. But I think despite a very challenging environment that we operated in, I think parts of our businesses did face the pressure, but overall we still posted a very decent growth in the current quarter. Over to you, Devashish.
Thank you. Thank you, Mahesh. So in continuation to what Madhavan and Mahesh said, I'll just run you through the numbers at the consolidated level. So the revenue, and this is for the quarter, the revenue from operations went up from 16 billion to 17 billion, which is an increase of about 6.3%. Taking into account the other income, which is largely operating income for us, the total income from operations went up from 16.1 billion to 17.5 billion, which is an improvement of 8.5%. At a cost grew by 6.6%, but at EBITDA level, the EBITDA improved from 231 million last year to about 552 million. Part of this is obviously because of the impact of Ind AS, and I'll come to that separately. After accounting for depreciation interest, at a PBT level, the losses went down from last year's level of 118 million to 34 million. So we see a clear improvement in the operating results. On the segment side, on the segment analysis, financial services, which is basically Forex, our overall revenue went up by 4% from 729 to 759 million, and the EBIT went up from went up by 7% in the same period from 238 million to 256 million. Travel and related services went up. The revenues went down marginally by about 3%, largely on the account of leisure travel, from 14.7 billion to 14.3 billion. However, at a EBIT level, the results are better. It went up from about 299 million to 346 million, which is an improvement of about 16%. I will skip the human resource service because really very small, but the vacation ownership, which is Sterling, and Ramesh would cover that in detail while he comes on after me. The overall segment revenue went up from 520 million to 554 million, which is a 7% improvement. And the losses went down substantially from about 232 million to about 232 million last year to 190 million this year. Mahesh talked about DI already. They reported 1384 million of revenue in this quarter and delivered an EBIT of 56.9 million. I will t-
talk. I'll give a couple of minutes to talk about the impact of impact on the Ind AS 116, which came in from this year. During the quarter ended September 2009, the depreciation expenses were 341 million. This includes 163 million on account of depreciation on the right of use assets. Obviously, this is not there last year, and therefore, there is a, to that extent, the depreciation will look very different this year as compared to last year. Also, during the same quarter, the finance cost expenses 245 million. This included 48 million on account of the interest on lease liabilities. This again has pushed the interest cost, the finance cost up. While at overall level, at overall PBT level, there is I'll talk about the impact at the overall level. During the same quarter, the other expenses is lower by 189 million on account of because this the rent basically got redistributed between the depreciation and the interest. During the overall during the quarter, the PBT is lower by about 22 million. Largely on account, largely impacting sterling, which holds a lot of leasehold assets. I will also I think I'll now hand it over. We can dwell on the details later as and when your questions come up, but I'll now hand it over to Ramesh Ramanathan, who will talk, will take a few minutes to talk about sterling. Ramesh, over to you.
Thanks, Devashish, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 2 points I want to highlight while I start. Sterling, as we discuss the financials, there are two broad segments that we are going to be talking about. One is the membership segment. The other one is the resort operations. The second point that I want you to keep in mind is that since last year, April, we have been, Ind AS 115 has been operational, and while that has not affected the health of the company anyway visually, as you would know, we, on the membership segment, we recognize just 4% upfront, and the entire revenue is recognized equally over a period of 25 years, while the expenses are recognized. Most of the expenses other than directly related to sales are loaded up front. This is something I want you to keep in mind while I am going through the numbers. For the quarter, as Devashish said earlier, we are at 55.5 crores or 555 million against 507 million last year, same period, 9% growth. And even in the first half, we are at 1350 million against 1238, which is also a 9% growth. But what is interesting is that in this quarter, the membership sales has jumped almost 50%. And these are revenue numbers, again, based on Ind AS 115, so 32 crores against 320 million versus 214 million of last year. Even the membership number of units has gone up. Occupancy for the half year is at 69%. Substantially higher than the previous year, and for the quarter also it is higher at 54% versus 49%. The ARRs have remained flat, as you would know, apart from the reasons that Madhavan and then Mahesh mentioned. We are primarily in the domestic market, and we were hit by very, very serious rain-based cancellations, and I think in all along the West Coast as well as in the North and several other areas, there were red alerts and a lot of customers cancelled their bookings. So there was a certain disruption that happened in this quarter. Otherwise, we expected it to be far better than what we have done, even though we have increased over last year. ARR was flat during the quarter. However, for the half year, the ARR is at 4497 versus 4379, an increase of 3%. Incidentally, we are not really concerned about the ARRs at this point of time, because if you look at our CAGRs over the last 5 years, ARRs from FY14, ARRs have grown at 13% CAGR. The EBITDA for sterling is a negative 5.9, however it compares favorably with last year same period at 16.7 crores. However, for the half year, The EBITDA is positive at 4 crores against a negative 15.6 last year. We have made quite a few changes in terms of strategy, moving over to a more satellite model, giving up some of our more expensive lease resorts and so on. But I would answer that as and when specific questions come up. Cash flow has also been positive for us at 8.3 crores in the first half of the year versus a negative 0.6 crores last year. Thank you.
So should we open the floor for questions?
Please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Venkat Samala from Tata Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand more about the numbers related to Sterling. So while if I see the membership sales, they've gone up by 50%. The ARRs YOY have gone up by around 20%, 4,500 versus 3,750 that is. The occupancies have also increased by 5 percentage points. So I would expect the revenue numbers year on year to be much better than what it is right now at 6.6%. Could you please help understand the divergence in the numbers?
Okay. Venkat, firstly, as I said, our revenue lines are two. So if you look at, let me answer for this quarter first, and therefore you will understand the impact of it. If you look at our membership numbers, we grew, as I said, by almost 50% from over last year. But this is in terms of numbers. However, what has happened is that because of Ind AS 115, when the numbers increase, actually the EBITDA keeps going down because we are able to take advantage only of 4% of the revenue on the current year.
Right.
So this actually has a, you know, negative impact in terms of the business when you look at the P&L. I also want to mention, before I answer the other things, I also want to mention we are going to negate this impact by changing our sales structure and moving into a different sales structure which will allow us to straight line our expenses. Unfortunately, it's not something we can do overnight. We have already started the process over the next two quarters. We expect that this effect of higher sales leading to lower EBITDAs will be turned around by being able to straight line our expenses over a period of time. Okay. Now, the ARR that 3756 that you are seeing is for the complete period last year. Whereas the ARR, if you look at it, as I said, for the quarter has remained flat.
Okay.
Okay. And for the first half, it is just up 3%. So this year, we have plateaued in terms of ARR. And as I said, when I opened, we are not really concerned. The ARRs have grown over the past period, and this year there has been, you know, all the floods and everything else, so people have been, I don't think other leisure companies even have probably managed this sort of increases in ARRs. And I want you to remember our business is half and half. Half is membership, half comes from non-members or guests who come into our resorts on two nights, 3 days, MICE and so on. So it is a combined effect of this that you see on the revenue.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Arun Malhotra from Capgrow Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Wanted to understand a couple of things. One is we have grown through a lot of acquisitions. Are we also concerned on the capital efficiency part in terms of how much ROE and ROS we are generating out of these acquisitions? because of, if I look at Digi Photo Entertainment, we have paid some 289 crores, while the EBITDA number seems to be quite low. Can you comment on this?
Okay. To answer the first part of your question, yes, obviously we are, we look at the capital efficiency, and if you look at our acquisitions, they're all of them have either started perform, either performing right now or started performing. For example, if you look at the acquisitions that we did, and I'm keeping, keeping Sterling and Quest both out of the picture because these are not really in the realm of travel and forex. So if you look at the other acquisition that we have had, the first one that we did was Kooni India, which is SOTC, and SOTC and CETA, and that's profitable, and it is definitely giving a, you know, a return on the capital employed, suitable return on the capital employed. Similar is the case with Kooni Hong Kong. As far as the later acquisition is concerned, the one that we did in 2017 was DMS, which we acquired for effectively a net value of 5 million Swiss franc after considering the cash of 14 million that they had on their books. As you know, that we bought a loss-making entity or a group of entities that were loss-making, that is why you could buy it for such a price. And we said that it will take 3 years to turn around. So we have spent about 2 years working on this, and last year we achieved a break-even on an EBITDA level for the full year. We are quite certain that we'll achieve a break-even for at an EBIT level this year, and next year should start delivering money. So you will appreciate that, you know, if you buy a company that is not making money, it takes a great deal of effort to turn it around and start, you know, reflecting the efficiency of capital as we are putting it. As far as the second part of the question was about the DEI, which is also connected to the first part. DEI, I think we cannot judge based on one quarter of performance. There is a strong seasonality in DEI, just as is there in any other travel business, because finally it is related to the number of people who visit all those sites. That's how we can, you know, click those photos and sell them, and therefore earn the revenue. So one needs to look at the full year performance. And we have done this acquisition in the first quarter, early in the first quarter of this year. We need to give it a full year to see how the results are. And you will also know that this year has been a year of growth for them. And they have acquired several contracts during this year, which are all coming into operation from early next year. And these include very lucrative contracts with in the Bahamas, and in the Bahamas with Atlantis, three hotels of Atlantis. It includes a contract with Universal Studios, as well Universal Studios in Beijing and Dubai Mall. And they're also right now in the process of negotiation, the final stage of negotiation with Disney Shanghai. So with all this coming in, it is next year's revenues are likely to be substantially higher. And while this year they will finish with a profit for this year, next year will be even better. So an investment does not give results from day one, otherwise nobody would sell that business. You will have to give it some amount of time.
Sure. See, if you
didn't invest, we didn't invest 289 crores.
No. So he is considering the full value, enterprise value.
Okay.
He bought 50% at 140 odd crores. Yeah. So that way, the full enterprise value is 289 crores.
Sure. If we, no, but you know, we always talk of the EBITDA numbers, the EBIT numbers. But if we see the look at the ROE rows of the both travel and forex business, even though we have a very strong brand equity, but the ROE and ROE seems to be quite low. That's the concern of majority of the shareholders.
So if you give me a minute, you know, we have explained this in the past. So you are looking at a business which is still in the process of turning around. So the DMS business, as you have said upfront, you know, on our own, it is yet to turn profitable at a PBT level.
This acquisition-led strategy has led to, you know, a lot of concerns among the shareholders, even in Thomas Cook, even in a group company called Quest. So I'm just trying to address this, that this is an acquisition-led strategy. We keep on doing acquisitions which keep on diluting the ROE and ROS on a continuous basis. So that's the concern which I'm trying to highlight.
Yeah, I understand completely, but
yeah.
If you are acquiring any business which acquires other companies, will need to be given some time. And to me, the time period is between 3 and 5 years. So if you, that's why I'm spreading it between the three, it is in three different parts. The acquisition that we did in 2015, which is Kony Hong Kong and Kony India, has started firing already. The acquisition that we did in 2017 is about to take off. And the DEI acquisition, this is just, we have not been completed a year. I think it's too early to judge that.
Okay.
So, and also, you should also, we must keep in mind that during this period, we are also bringing up or nurturing two businesses. One is the e-business or the online business, and another is the domestic. We could have taken an easy route of putting it in a different company, okay, and not, you know, keep it completely outside the ambit of Thomas Cook. We haven't done that. We have been absorbing the losses of those businesses while trying to, you know, grow the businesses, and that is never considered, that is not being considered in all this process. So we are building value for the long term. Thomas Cook, just like Fairfax, is something that we, you know, believes in, that is a company that believes in the longer term and not in the shorter term on quarter and quarter profit delivery.
Mr. Malhotra, my suggestion is that you connect with Devashish offline. We'd gladly answer any concerns or apprehensions that you have.
Sure, sir. And just one suggestion: we should give ROE ROEs on a, you know, on a segment-wise basis in our presentation in the future. And second part of my question is, sir, Cox and Kings now has vacated a lot of space in the travel segment. How would we benefit?
Look, I think it's too early to even talk about the impact of Cox and Kings. Right now, all of us are measuring the negative impact that its collapse has tarnished the entire industry. But I think we need to wait at least a season or two to actually see the benefit on the retail side. Because, look, most of the measurement lies in the retail space, where retail customers will take some time to come back. In fact, our experience consequent to this is that the lack of trust, and when I say lack of trust from a retail customer, is normally when somebody is taking a tour, they pay us over a period of 4 months to finally go on the tour. And we are sensing a degree of reluctance to keep the money with us for so long for fear that the company may collapse. On the corporate front, while I will not share specific information, we have benefited from several relationships moving to us across all three companies, Thomas Cook, SOTC, and TCI.
Sir, all right. I am done, sir.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Ritvik Sheikh from One Up Financial Solutions. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So a couple of questions. Firstly, on the export incentive that we booked in the quarter around 29 crores, is it at any risk with the recent regulation relating to this?
What is the regulation that you're referring to specifically?
The WTO thing, does it apply to us?
No. So this is the export incentive that you have booked is something which is called the SEIS. It comes under the SEIS scheme. The full form of which is Service Export from India scheme. This is a scheme that has been running for several years now, and we book an income year on year. So this is the income that we have booked as incentive for the performance of export performance that we did in the inbound business, pertaining to the inbound business during 18-19.
During 18-19.
Yes.
Okay, so this doesn't apply to that.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Not at all.
Thanks for the clarification. And also, so a lot of adjustments, due to Ind AS, especially in sterling, because of that upfronting and cash, cash flow is actually positive and the reported is negative. So,
yeah.
Can you help with the cash flow in the first half of the year?
Cash flow in the first half is 8.3 crores.
Okay.
Positive.
3 crores positive.
3 crores as again 0.6 negative last year.
No, I'm talking about Thomas Cook consolidated, not...
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
So, No, so what is, I haven't really understood your question on cash flow. What is it that you would like to understand? I'm not really understood. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
So, the calculation what I've done is, you know, the PAT plus depreciation of free, the cash flow for the first half is around 96 crores. So is that calculation right, or is there any one-offs like due to Ind AS that we have to adjust either upwards or downwards?
So, you know, there is an increase in depreciation and the rental, effectively what is happening in very simple terms is that the rental expenses, then reduction in rental expenses, which then gets distributed between depreciation and interest.
Hmm.
And, you know, broadly, because still at the end of it, there is still some negative impact on the overall results. So, it is not a very straightforward calculation. So, if you really wanted to understand the details, it's probably better that you connect with me or Urvashi and we can take you through, because this will, it will probably be better to do it, you know, across the table rather than over the phone.
Sure, no problem. And on the outbound business, you know, this year Q1 was a bit soft. So do you expect, we've done around 1700, 1750 crores for the first half and last year we've done around 2600 crores. So do you expect to be at least at par on FY19 levels around 2500-2600 crores, or will be falling short of that?
I'm not sure where you picked up these numbers from, because
from the presentation, sir.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't have access to it. But look, currently, as we said, we are seeing some amount of a bit of a flutter in the market in terms of how the sentiments are playing out. You know, when we started off the year, we were looking at a close to about 20% growth in our forward bookings. When I say forward bookings, these are in terms of volumes, and we were looking at a 20% growth. As we stepped into Q2, we actually saw that coming down to about 10%. And as we've been saying, there are a lot of issues around in the market. So our belief is that we should still be at about 8-10% growth. So it's safe to assume that we will be slightly better than what we did last year in terms of our volumes.
Okay, great. And on the DMS, you know, in the previous question, sir mentioned that, you know, we are still bleeding on PBT level. So we've been seeing, you know, this quarter we've like around 10% growth quarter on quarter with better gross margins. So what kind of revenue with these current reported gross margin of 15% will lead to break even at PBT level in the DMS business?
So that's a very complex question. I'll try to I've not completely understood, but I'll tell you what's happening there. So we have grown the revenues by about 12% in this particular quarter. Okay. One thing that you must keep in mind is that the travel business is seasonal in India and anywhere else. So, and this is not the season in most parts of the, most parts where we really operate. So, so the real result, the way to really look at it will be for the full year. Because you can't really prorate one quarter for the four. But the increase in sales over the last year same quarter can give you an indication of the growth of the business. And, as of now we are fairly confident that our target is to break even at a EBIT level, because EBIT or PBT is fairly the same because the interest cost in that business is not very high, and we would probably with some luck we'll reach there. There are 6 months left in that. Yeah.
Yeah. So my question was like, you know, even in this not so seasonal quarter we've grown around 10%. So,
yeah.
For the full year, probably we'll do a bit better than that. And gross margins also, if I see from FY19, Q1, FY20, this is the 15% gross margin is highest. What we've done since acquiring the business. So, what kind of revenue per quarter should we expect to break even at? You know, is it 500 crores on a quarterly or on an annual?
I would not like to. That's a little forward-looking question. I would not like to answer that.
Okay. Sure. No problem. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you very much. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Dipen Mehta from Elixir Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. 1 minute. So my question is relating to the cost of the company. So is there any scope for significant cost reduction? Because the PBT margins are like between 0.75%-1.5% or so. And even if you can scrape out 0.5%-1% type of cost savings, it would make a serious difference to the bottom line and the return ratios, which a lot of us are kind of worried about. So in this business, is there any scope for significant cost reduction? Because end of the day, this is the new reality, and whatever you may do, the businesses on a long-term trajectory basis can grow only at anywhere from 8%-12% or thereabouts with a great deal of volatility. And if you want to survive in a situation like this, then you have to have extremely tight control over costs. So just wanted your comments on that, sir.
Okay. I will try and answer part of this question, and then I will pass it on to Mahesh to talk out more about the initiatives, etc., that's happening currently. So there are clearly two parts of the business. One is travel, and the other is forex. And if you look at the margins in those businesses, forex is really traded on its average margin is about 1.2%-1.3%. That's a gross margin that we work on. And after that, obviously, all the overheads come in. So effectively, the margin that there is very little that it can be done in terms of changing the PBT margin on that. On travel, we are a bundler of service. As you know, we buy services, we buy air tickets, we buy hotel rooms, buy services from various tour operators, bundle that, and offer you a package. What we really offer you is an experience. And therefore, the margin on that is very, very competitive. So in terms of margin improvements, and after that, when the overheads come in, obviously, there is little scope for changing the PBT. Where our PBT growth will come from is primarily when some of the businesses that we have acquired or we are nurturing starts making profit. When you see the PBT as of now, it does include the losses that are still there for the DMS business, one, and the losses that are coming out of the online and the domestic business, which we are nurturing right now or incubating right now. So once these come to a break-even or start making money, you will see a sharp improvement or sort of step jump in the PBT. And that's when you will see improvement. I think that is one thing that we need to keep in mind. As far as the overall cost is concerned, we have taken several initiatives, and I will request Mahesh to talk a bit about it as to what has been done in the travel and the forex domain, and he'll elaborate more on that.
So just to give you a color to the numbers that you're talking about, if you look at EBIT margin as a percentage of revenue, on the forex side, we are at about 52%-53%. And across the travel groups, we are about 34%-35%. Now, this, we believe, is a very optimal kind of a range that we are operating with. From the time that we have acquired Thomas Cook, sorry, SOTC and TCI, Sita, we've been integrating a lot of services at the back end, more importantly, services such as HR, finance, IT, and everything else. So clearly, our path has been in terms of consolidation and putting it together. The one aspect that I would like you to keep in mind is that we are a people-centric business. While a lot of people talk about online, but please remember, holiday as a product or as a category is not completely online. It's still a high-touch business where people do a lot of research, but ultimately, when they consume the product, they need to walk into a branch, talk to a person, get a handover on a set of things and stuff like that. So other than the cost of service, which is what Debashish explained, the other important or the larger piece of cost that sits in is the employee cost. And over there, we constantly invest a lot in technology, and we've done a lot of products in the last 12 months. Just to give you an example, we have a chatbot through which both at SOTC and Thomas Cook, through which a customer can interact with us. We've offered a lot of technology in the hands of the consumer where they need to call us for services. They can actually look at it for the app, So wherever we can bring in reduction in terms of people who are involved in the services have already happened. But clearly, you know, when we are looking at the business, we are not looking at from a spectrum of cost, but we are looking at saying how do we improve the experience and thereby try and command a premium over it. Because at the end of the day, if you were to go to the cost route, there's only so much that you will get out of cost, maybe a few percentage points. But largely, I think the game is about saying how aggressive you want to be in the marketplace, what different positioning you want to take. And that's where we have invested in. We've put in a lot of products to the market. We have invested in analytics. We've got Accenture partnering with us where we are investing. We have already invested in the sales analytics part of it, which brings in better efficiencies in the way we market our products, the way we target our customers and stuff like that. So clearly ours is a dual focus strategy, not necessarily hinging on saying the reduction of cost, but a strategy where we are focusing on maximizing our revenues at the same time managing our costs through technology-led inventions or innovations.
Just one quick question. What is the loss in DMS excluding the 29 crores which we got from, which is of a kind of a one-time nature, at least that's for that quarter for aggregate?
I'm sorry, can you say that?
The loss in DMS for the quarter excluding the 291 million received under the India SEIS scheme.
SEIS scheme does not pertain to the DMS, it pertains to the India business really. So, because that's an export incentive for anything that you export out of India. So, that doesn't pertain to the DMS business in any case. As far as the loss of the DMS business is concerned, it's about nine crores for the quarter.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Suraj Subramaniam from Airavat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking this question. I'm sorry if this is already answered, but could you give a breakup of your console cash? How much of it is the float from the travel card, deposits from customers, etc.? Thanks.
Yeah, sure. Give me a minute and I'll answer that question.
Yeah.
So as of 30th of September, the total cash that we had was close to about 1100 crores, out of which the float, the BPC float as we say, was about 730 crores, and the balance was pure cash and bank balances. If you look at the working capital position, our debtors was about 410 crores and our creditors was about 550. And all my debtors, my debtors have a DSO of around less than 30 days on an average. So,
thank you. And could you give some color on how have you, I mean, it's obviously been a difficult period with this whole almost with UK brand perception and cost and things hitting you both simultaneously. Did you find that the worst of the news flow is behind you in terms of your discussions with the channel, travel agents and so on, or is it still ongoing?
Let me answer this in two parts. If I look at the damage that it has done in terms of confidence in the travel industry, I think it's going to take time to recover. Be it at the retail level as well as at the vendor level. In fact, if you look at both these companies, they've left a lot of unpaid bills out there with vendors. They have reneged on holidays that people purchased and who have no recourse to anybody to regain their money. So these are two issues that have happened, and I think that that will take some time. But having said that, I think it's both these events are behind us now, and while we will have to go out and build confidence in the market around our capabilities and our ability, our financial strength, the reality is that we need to look forwards, and we are clearly geared towards the summer season of next year already. While I'm not saying we're ignoring the winter season, but our focus is on how we can capitalize on opportunities in the upcoming summer holiday.
Great. Okay. Good luck with the quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, I was looking at your H1 results. So, you know, while...
Sorry to cut you off, Sarvesh. Can you please speak a bit louder?
I was looking at your H1 results. And of course, you know, we have been able to achieve a small single-digit number in terms of the growth in both revenues as well as divisional profits. I could not understand, however, why in a slow growth environment like this, our common expenditure as well as our interest and finance expenses went up by 30-40%.
Okay. As far as the interest expenditure is concerned, as I stated in my initial comments, the interest expenses in this particular quarter and of course for the half year also includes the interest on the lease liabilities. This is as per the new accounting standard Ind AS 116, which came into effect from 1st of April this year. So the numbers are not exactly comparable. So if I look at the quarter numbers, our total interest expense is about stated to about 245 million vis-a-vis 183 million in the previous quarter. Now, if I break that up, there are three parts to it actually in the current quarter. There is pure interest, there is bank charges, and then there is the interest on the interest portion of the lease liabilities. Now, the first two was there last year as well. The pure interest is about is about 5.2 crores. For the same quarter last year, it was about 7.9 crores. So we actually see a reduction in the pure interest on the debt. The bank charges have gone up from 10.4 crores last year to about 14.5 this year. That's primarily due to there are a couple of factors which have affected that. One is the increasing business being conducted online. Close to about 30% of the business is on the leisure side is now being done online. And the payments also obviously are collected online, and therefore there are merchant charges, MDR charges basically, that we need to pay to the banks. This also includes items like swap costs and exim charges incurred for import and export of currency. And traditionally this features as part of our finance costs. Now, with the growth of the forex business, there is increase in exim charges, and that also comes in as part of the overall cost of the bank charges. About 4.7 crore is on account of the interest on lease liabilities, which wasn't there last year. So if I take out the 4.7 crores to make it more comparable, my costs have actually, you know, remained more or less flat. It's about 18.3 crores last year vis-a-vis 19.7 crores this year for the quarter.
Sir, first of all, my suggestion is that because there are so many moving parts here, why can't we show some adjusted margins? Because ideally these charges should be adjusted against the divisional profits, and then only we will be able to get a real sense of how the profitability are. We should have showed this in our presentation itself, because otherwise it is very difficult to understand these numbers.
So we haven't shared any presentation other than the one that was, you're talking about the presentation on the website?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
So
okay.
Understood. Yeah. That is number one. Secondly, yeah. Common expenditure, again 28% increase in H1 versus H1 to H1. How do you explain that?
Yeah. So the biggest item as it was 41 crores in the same quarter last year, and this has gone up to about 41.8 crores has gone up to a 53.6. That's the increase of 12 crores. Out of that, the biggest item is on account of about 5 crores is on account of increase in depreciation on common assets because of Ind AS 116. So if you take that out, then it's about more like 48 crores versus 42 crores. And so that's the single largest component of the increase in cost.
Okay. Understood, sir. Because basically, we talked about the fact that we have free cash flows of 200 crores, and when it comes against, against that, we hear 40% increase in interest and finance expenses. It doesn't make sense.
Yes, I know. The accounting standard is throwing things a bit off gear this year because the numbers are not really comparable. This will, sort of smoothen over a period of time. By next year, this will be more like to like.
And secondly, sir, this 730 crores float you said, what is the current gross debt that we have?
Current gross debt?
Gross debt?
So, on our debt, actually we are negative on debt. So, if you look at our overall, the standalone balance sheet of Thomas Cook is debt-free. There is no debt on that account. If you look at the consolidated position, our cash and cash equivalent is about 1,088 crores. Against that, our net external borrowings are about 403 crores. So the net, we have a net cash or negative debt of 685 crores.
But of that 1,100, 730 crores is float, right? So that is not...
No. So just give me a minute, please. So this is what I tried to explain when I talked about the cash. And so... we cannot just unilaterally take out the BPC float and calculate because I have got creditors, I have got debtors. So that, and debtors are about 400 crores, so all of it that is less than 30 days. So if I'm taking out the cash which is there on there, then I should add back the debtors as well.
Okay. So on this 730 crores, are there any covenants? Like, can we earn any interest on that, or how does it happen?
So we have placed part of that float. We have placed part of that float into foreign currency fixed deposits in the same currency in which they are originally received. Depending on the currency, we receive some interest. For example, on the dollar balance, we receive interest between 2.25 and 2.5%. And similar amounts for other, applicable rates of interest for the other currencies. But obviously, largest balances are in US dollars.
The intent is to try and create a natural hedge for ourselves, because in a depreciating environment, keeping these balances in rupees may actually expose you to a far greater risk.
Understood, sir. And finally, sir, again a question on the presentation. Now, in FY19 presentation, we had shown DEI and Sterling as portfolio investments. In 1Q presentation, we showed DEI as strategic while Sterling was portfolio. And now, I think Sterling is the only portfolio investment as per this presentation, while DEI is now in the core business.
So DEI actually was acquired on 29th of March, so we did not include anything. Anything except the balance sheet of DEI as on 31st March. From first quarter of this year, which is a real quarter when DEI started coming into our results, from that time we have always classified that as part of the major business.
Okay. So final question, what is the gross and net debt for Sterling consolidated?
Gross and net, in the sense I have not understood the question.
For Sterling business, what is the gross debt and net debt consolidated for Sterling? Because Sterling also has a lot of subsidiaries.
So, the Sterling had, Ramesh, I'm answering this on your behalf. Sterling had a gross debt of 62 crores and a net debt of about 59 crores.
Okay, rest is attributable to our...
Understood, sir.
I'll join back on the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Navid Virani from Concept Investor Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Sir, my question is on the Sterling business side. So currently the revenue which we see is a mixed bag of membership and our hotel business, right?
That's correct. Yes, it is right.
So are we expecting the mix to tilt towards anyone, the hotel business side? Because when we talk about the new accounting standard, which is the 115, right? So that, hello?
Yes, go ahead. I'm listening.
So this accounting standard 115, makes us recognize only makes us recognize very little revenue and majority of the costs upfront, right?
That's
so,
right.
Is it fair to say that we need the hotel business to grow faster than the membership business in order to turn profitable?
If you look at it on the surface, that would be right. However, I won't agree with you because I think the business decision must be made on the market and potential and not on accounting standards. Therefore, our focus on both membership and non-membership will continue. What we are doing on the membership side is, you know, incidentally, while 4% has gone, all the previous income has gone and sat in deferred income, and it's written in every month or every quarter, every year. So there is income coming in. What we are planning to do, however, to answer your question on the membership side, and I did mention it earlier, is we are making changes in the sales structure. So the advantage is if the sales is done through independent sales agents and franchisees, you'll be able to straight line all the sales and marketing expenses. And therefore, we are looking at changes in the structure so that even in the membership side, we will be benefited. The second point is that as a strategy, we have been moving towards a hybrid model. What do I mean by a hybrid model? It's a combination of membership and non-membership sales. Currently, these are at 50-50. If you look at room nights, there are 50% by non-members and 50% by members. However, the biggest advantage of this is that all the non-members who go into the resorts on 2 nights, 3 days, from cities, we have moved our sales structures into the resorts. So people coming into the resorts, we approach them for selling memberships. And therefore, to that extent, the marketing costs of finding prospects for us is reduced. So going in the future, we will ensure that we are more and more on, and all the people in the resort selling are all franchisees. So the idea is to sort of shift the sales structure, but continue with a focus on both members and non-members. Progressively, you will see over the next 3 to 4 quarters, it will substantially change so that the effect of the accounting will be reduced on the membership portion.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that will be the last question for today. I will now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Do appreciate your patience, considering all the pain that we've been through in the last quarter. Hopefully, from both your good wishes and our own prayers, we won't have much of that pain anymore beyond seeing any further collapses in the industry. And we hope that, you know, things will pick up from here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of IIFL Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.